Well, this morning I'd like to talk to you about trust, trusting God. The message is entitled, Who Do You Trust? The Bible says a lot about trusting God. Every one of us here probably would say that we trust God. But sometimes that's a struggle. Sometimes we struggle with trust. Years ago, a man named Monroe Parker was traveling through South Alabama. It was a hot summer day, and so he stopped at a watermelon stand, and he picked up a watermelon, and he asked the proprietor there how much it cost. He said it cost $1.10. Parker dug into his pocket. He found only a bill, and he said, "All I have is a dollar." "That's okay," the proprietor said. "I'll trust you for it." "Well, that's mighty nice of you," Parker responded. He picked up the watermelon, and he started to leave. "Hey, where are you going?" the man behind the counter demanded. "Going outside to eat my watermelon." "But you forgot to give me the dollar." "You said you'd trust me for it," Parker called back. "Yeah, but I meant I would trust you for the dime." "Mac," Parker replied, "you weren't going to trust me at all. You were just going to take a 10-cent gamble on my integrity." Sometimes maybe that's the way our trust is with God. There's another story about from a family about their Uncle Oscar. Uncle Oscar was apprehensive about his first airplane ride. His friends, eager to hear how it went, asked if he enjoyed the flight. "Well," commented Uncle Oscar, "it wasn't as bad as I thought it'd be. But I'll tell you this, I never put all my weight down." Sometimes maybe our trust in God is kind of like that. We're not ready to put all of our weight down. Well, Proverbs 3 says this, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." We know that trusting is a challenge. Trusting God is a challenge. A while back, a little paper that we have here at the church, somebody wrote a little article called What's Enough? He said, "How much evidence do you need before you're convinced that God's taking care of you? How many meals will you have to eat before you say, I trust I'm going to have enough to eat every day of my life, so I'll quit worrying about food? How many articles of clothing will you have to hang in your closet before you say, God's providing me with enough to wear? How many nights will you go to bed with a roof over your head and a secure place to sleep before you conclude, God is going to protect me and provide for me? How many prayers must be answered before you reason, God's watching out for me? How much stuff will you have to accumulate before you decide, I'm content. God has blessed me with enough. I don't need any more." All of that's about trust. But trust is a challenge. I think we can all recall numerous times that God has been trustworthy. And yet we struggle with trust. One of the reasons is that it takes many positive experiences to build trust. But it only takes one negative experience to break trust. You could successfully hold a confidence for me dozens of times if I told you something in confidence. But if one time you failed to keep that confidence, there'd be a lot of questions in my mind about sharing a confidence with you again. So it just takes one broken trust to really cause us to lose our trust in someone. There's forces that are trying to dissuade us from trusting God. In 2 Kings chapter 18, Israel, Jerusalem, was being attacked by the army of Assyria. And so King Hezekiah instructed the people of Jerusalem to trust God. because there was this huge army arrayed around Jerusalem. They were surrounded. King Hezekiah said, "Trust God. We're going to trust God here." But the commander of the Assyrian army came forward and he spoke to the city, to the people of Jerusalem. He tried to dissuade them from trusting the Lord as King Hezekiah had instructed them. So he shouted a message to the people who were standing on the wall to discourage and to dishearten. Now, you might not have a person telling you not to trust God, but we all have an enemy who wants to discourage that. He wants to discourage our trust in God. This army commander from Assyria, when he spoke to the people in Jerusalem, he said this: "Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria." So he says this. He actually started speaking in Hebrew when he said it because he wanted all the people to understand. "Do not listen to Hezekiah. Do not listen, for he is misleading you when he says the Lord will deliver us. Has the God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria?" He's trying to discourage those people. He says, "You can't trust your God. What's in front of you is greater and mightier than you could imagine." So we all, the same way, have somebody who wants to discourage us. Sometimes it could be other people who act like we're foolish to trust God. Sometimes people act that way. We may be discouraged that way. It may be circumstances that appear foreboding in our lives, things that it looks like, how could this ever change? How could things be different? That's what Jerusalem was facing. They were overwhelmed by the army from Assyria. It may be things that are not progressing the way that you think they should or the way that you expect that they would. There are challenges to trusting God. In Deuteronomy 28:52, it says this, and this is in the context of God telling Jerusalem, "Here's what will happen if you obey me, if you obey my command, if you trust me by obeying my commands, this is what will happen. Blessings." He says, "If you do not obey me, you do not trust me and obey my commands, this is what will happen. There will be curses." And as a part of that that word to them in Deuteronomy 28:52, God says, this is the other nations that come against you, will lay siege to all of the cities throughout your land until the high fortified walls in which you trust fall down. What's God saying? There's nothing wrong with building walls. There's nothing wrong with them building these walls around their cities. But what God was saying is, if you're putting your trust in these walls, if you've shifted your trust from me to these walls, this is what's going to happen. These walls will fail. They will fall down. In Proverbs, we learn that there's two times that it's difficult to trust God. In Proverbs 30:8-9, this is what it says: "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." So there's two times that we have difficulty in trusting God. The first is when things are going well. Everything is fine. We begin trusting other things, other people. We begin trusting ourselves. The other time is when things don't go well. When we become comfortable, we're prone to making this shift to trusting other things, to trusting other people. So the question for us this morning is, where in my life have I made that shift? And how do I prevent it from happening? Maybe we ought to always be expecting God to be stretching us. You know, sometimes when God's stretching us, when we really need to trust God, we sort of bemoan the fact. We wonder, why doesn't God take care of everything now? God's calling us to trust Him. It stretches our faith. It stretches our trust. Maybe we should always be looking for that. That's what the person here in Proverbs seems to be saying. You get too comfortable, it's too easy. We tend not to trust God when things are too difficult. If God doesn't do anything, how can we trust God? And so there's this place in between. Where does your trust lie? Where does your trust lie? Because all but God will fail. All but God will fail our trust. Anyone, any person, anything that we put trust in will eventually fail. Only God is true. We may put our trust in money, in people, in jobs, in self, in everything going smoothly. Where do you put your trust? Where have you been putting your trust? Now, just like with the people of Israel, there's nothing wrong with building walls around the cities. It was a matter of where they had shifted their trust to. The key is when we begin making decisions based on all of these things where we tend to put our trust instead of on our trust in God, that's when we know that we're building a false foundation, something that will someday fail. Only God can be truly trusted. So our proverb this morning says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and He will make your paths straight. There's benefits to trusting God. He'll make your path straight. Psalm 37 talks about trusting God. It's in the context of looking around and seeing that maybe those who don't trust God are doing well. It says in Psalm 37, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. So sometimes we look around, well, they're not trusting God, and look what's happening. What's going on here with us? Those of us who are placing our trust or trying to place our trust in God. Further down in the psalm, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope, which is like trust, in the Lord will inherit the land. There's benefits to trusting God. Verses 8 and 9 indicate that we have a choice. In verse 8, the psalmist says, refrain from anger, turn from wrath, do not fret. Those are kind of the opposites of trusting God. That's taking things into our own hands. It's a sort of trusting of ourselves. The psalmist says, one way leads to evil, the other way leads to an inheritance, the inheritance of the land, the benefits of trusting God. Jeremiah 39:18 says, I will save you. You will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life, because you trust me, declares the Lord. Now, he spoke that to Ebed-Melech. He was telling him, you will escape with your life from the capture of Jerusalem, because he had helped Jeremiah out. He had trusted, it says early in the chapter, he had trusted God as he helped Jeremiah out of a cistern where he had been put, where he had been captured. There's benefits to trusting God. Paul writes about joy and peace being benefits of trusting God. He says in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. He says, here's what you'll have as you trust God, joy and peace, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples, trust God. In John 14, 1, as Jesus was explaining that he was going to go back to the Father, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In other words, we find peace in trusting God. You want to know how to keep your hearts from being troubled? Trust God. So there's benefits. But it's difficult. How do we do that? How do you trust God? I'd like to give you a few keys for trusting God. The first one comes from Zephaniah 3:12. We don't hit Zephaniah very often. Zephaniah 3:12. God says, when Jerusalem is restored, he's talking about the restoration of Jerusalem after judgment. He says, when Jerusalem is restored, the proud and the haughty will be removed, while the meek and the proud and the haughty will be removed, while the meek, and there's something wrong with my wording here, but anyways, humble. For some reason, I've got haughty written down here. The meek and the humble will remain. Humility says that God alone knows what is right, what is best. God knows, not us. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about humility. One of the keys of trusting God is to be humble, to be humble before him. Often we think that I know how it should be, God. Trusting means that we're humble and we'll say, I don't fully understand, God, but I'm going to trust you. That's part of what our proverb said this morning. Lean not on your own understanding. And so humility is one of the keys in trusting God. Wakefield tells the story of a famous inventor, Samuel Morse. You know Samuel Morse, Morse code, he invented. He was once asked if he ever encountered situations where he didn't know what to do. Morse responded, more than once, and whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and I prayed to God for light and for understanding. Samuel Morse received many honors for his invention of the telegraph, but he felt undeserving. He said, I've made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me. He had a kind of humility that recognized that God was the one that gave him all that he needed, all that he was able to do. What does the proverb say? Acknowledge him in all your ways. That's one of the keys to trusting God, is we acknowledge him in all of our ways. Everything that we do, everything that we have, we acknowledge God for that. The second key is memory. Often Israel remembered the ways that God had set them free from captivity. They were instructed to build altars, to make memorials that reminded them of God's faithfulness on their behalf. Deuteronomy 1:29 to 32 says this. This was when they were supposed to enter the land the first time. Remember when they sent the spies into the promised land? And they came back and said, we can't go in there. 10 of the spies said that. 2 said they could. God says this. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt. He's saying, remember when you were in Egypt? Remember how I fought for you? Before your very eyes and in the desert, all these times in the desert, how I fought for you? There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust the Lord your God. He's saying, you could remember all of these things I've done for you, and yet you don't trust me. You don't trust the Lord your God. So one of the keys is memory, and this doesn't have to do with whether you have a good memory or a bad memory, okay? All of us, as we get a little bit older, our memory's not so good. It's not about that. It's about an active remembering. All of us have pictures of events in our lives where we've gone back and we've looked at the picture, and if it wasn't for the picture, we'd have long forgotten the event that took place. There's some things where I realize, you know, I remember the picture more than I really remember the actual event. But there's this active remembering that has taken place. Every time I look at that picture, I'm reminded of the event. And so I remember. It's the same way with all of the things that God has done, all the ways in which God has been trustworthy in our lives. One of the keys to trusting Him is memory, remembering, actively remembering what God has done for us. And the third key is honor, to honor God. There's an account given in Numbers 20 as the children of Israel were journeying through the wilderness. God had done many things for them. He had provided food, He had provided water, but they got to this place where there was no water. And they began to grumble and complain. They complained to Moses. Moses got upset about it. But God spoke to Moses and Aaron. And this is what God said. God said, "Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it'll pour out its water." So Moses and Aaron took the people of Israel, and they moved on. And as they got by the rock, they said, "Listen, you rebels," because they were upset. "Listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm, and he struck the rock twice with his staff. The water did come out. The water came forth. But then God said, "Because you did not trust me," and he's speaking to Moses here, "because you did not trust me in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land that I give them." There's a point in his life where Moses did not honor God. Kind of lost his trust in God there. He says, "Because you did not trust me enough to honor," God said, "speak to the rock." Moses got angry. I don't know if he thought he was doing it or what. But he got angry. He yelled at the people. He said the words and smacked the rock with his staff. And God said, "You weren't giving me honor." Part of trusting God is giving Him honor, honoring Him for all that He's done. It's as if Moses and Aaron themselves had brought forth the water, and God calls them out on that. We honor God when we recognize all that He's done. We give Him honor for providing, for saving, for bringing changes in our lives. When we honor God for these things, our trust grows. That's how our trust grows, when we honor God for those things that He's done. When we act like we've gained these things on our own, our trust is weakened. Because we lie to ourselves, we begin to place the burden on ourselves until we discover that we're not trustworthy. Only God is trustworthy. One of the ways to honor God is to begin praying before a crisis hits. Make a habit of praying daily and often, thanking God for what He's done, asking for guidance, protection, even in the things that we often take for granted, the things that we tend to think we can handle on our own. Acknowledge that your trust is in God alone. So who are you trusting? What do you need to do in the struggle to trust God? Is there any place where you've placed your trust over here when our trust is really to be in God? I'd like to tell you a final story. It's told by a man named Tim Hansel. Tells a story about he and his son. He says, "One day while my son Zach and I were out in the country climbing around on some cliffs, I heard a voice behind me yell, 'Hey, Dad, catch me!' I turned around to see Zach joyfully jumping off a rock straight at me. He had jumped and then yelled, 'Hey, Dad!' I became an instant circus act catching him. We both fell to the ground. For a moment after I caught him, I could hardly talk. When I found my voice again, I gasped in exasperation. "Zach, can you give me one good reason why you did that?" He responded with remarkable calmness, "Sure, because you're my dad." His whole assurance was based on the fact that his father was trustworthy. He could live his life to the hilt because he trusted his dad. And we're not to be reckless, which maybe from our eyes, Zach was reckless. But he trusted his dad. And so he could go on in life without being afraid. Isn't it even more true for us as Christians, as followers of Christ, that we can trust our Father? We can trust God. And so we can move on through life knowing that we can trust him. That's what I challenge you to this morning, to ask yourself, am I trusting God? Who are you trusting? Will you trust him? Honor him. Remember how he's been trustworthy in your life. He can be trusted. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that this morning you would show us ways in which we are failing to trust you. Lord, we know that there's great benefit in trusting you. The proverb says that you'll make our paths straight. But Lord, we do have this tendency to take it back to ourselves, to not be sure, or to think that we need to work things out, or to think that everything needs to look clear ahead of us before we're willing to trust, and that's not really trust. So Lord, I ask that you would help us. Lord, we know that there are circumstances in life. We know that we have an enemy that tempts us not to trust. Father, I ask that you would make those places aware, make us aware of those places in our lives, and that you would give us the grace to put our trust back on you, to be able to put our weight down fully on you, knowing that you can be trusted. And Father, as we trust you, we know that you'll care for us, that you'll watch over us, that you'll lead us, that you'll guide us. And even when everything around us may even look terrifying, as it did for the people in Jerusalem when the Assyrian army is there, Lord, even in those times, give us the grace to trust you, to not turn to the right or to the left, but to follow after you. In Jesus' name.